faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman!
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with amazing physical powers far beyond those of mortal men, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, wages a never-ending battle for truth and justice. Today, in his guise of reporter Clark Kent, Superman sets out grimly to track down whoever was responsible for shooting Jim Olsen at an interplayground track meet in the Metropolis Armory.
For Pete's sake, Sergeant, why don't you hold and search everyone in this crowd?
Oh, now look, Kent.
Why are you letting them leave before we find the man with the gun that shot Jim Olsen?
I mean, you calm down for 1 minute, Kent. I'll tell you why.
All right, I'm sorry. Please go on.
We don't have to search for an armed man.
You don't?
No. I'm sure we've got the whole thing figured out. We think we know who shot Olsen.
The sun beat down upon the crowded sidewalk, teeming with men and women of every language, race, and religion, where the 9th Street AC was playing baseball in New York's Lower East Side. The 9th Street boys weren't big fellows, all around 14, 15 years old. Benny, the thinnest and scrawniest of them all, but their best hitter, was at bat when... Cheese it, screamed a small kid in alarm. Here come the Tiger Gang. Around the corner, on the run, came a mob of 17-year-old mugs, tough pool room hangers-on, the gangsters of tomorrow, who roared down the block shouting insults as they came. The 9th Streeters, outweighed, outnumbered, started to dive for the nearest alleyways and cellars when Benny's voice halted them in the tracks. Hold it, fellas, he yelled. I'm sick and tired of running from those bullies. I ain't budging. A howl of glee came up from the oncoming 12th Street gang. The biggest of the mob rushed Benny with murder in his eye. They seemed so unfairly matched that it was like watching the fight between an angry wasp and a furious lion. But this time, to the undying memory of every boy there, the angry wasp won, and the lion wound up looking like a blob of raw beefsteak. And in the crowd, watching that now historic fight, was a fight promoter who, in Benny, saw a future champion. He gave him his chance, and that plucky East Side boy became the undefeated lightweight champion of the world, Benny Leonard. In a few minutes, I'll tell you more about this beloved champion, so keep listening.
And now, the adventures of Superman. For several days, Jimmy Olsen, cub reporter for the Metropolis Daily Planet, has been acting strangely, and in a telephone conversation with an unknown person, was heard to say that he would go through with something, even if it meant his life. Then, to reporter Clark Kent, who, unknown to all, is really Superman, Jimmy admitted that he was in serious trouble. Finally, he agreed to take Kent into his confidence. First, however, he asked him to accompany him to the local armory, where the Unity House track team of which Jimmy is manager was competing with several other playground teams. But as Kent, Jimmy, and a young Unity House runner named Howard Jones heard the crack of the Stardust pistol announcing the beginning of a race, Jimmy suddenly spun about and fell to the ground, unconscious. He had been struck by a bullet. As we continue now, it is a few minutes later. The track meet has been halted and police officers have taken charge. In a dining room downstairs, Kent and Howard Jones stand by tensely as a doctor examines the pale and silent Jimmy Olsen.
How is he, Doctor? Is he...
Just a minute, Mr. Kent.
Will he live?
Oh, yes, son. He'll live all right.
Oh, thank heaven. Oh, gee, that's swell.
If the bullet had come an eighth of an inch closer, though, it would have penetrated his skull.
Gosh.
Fortunately, though, it just grazed him with enough force to stun him.
Are you sure, Doctor? I mean, he's all right otherwise.
I think so. I can't see any other injuries. He should recover consciousness in a few minutes.
Oh, that's fine. something very important I must find out from him at once.
I'm afraid that will have to wait, Mr. Kent.
What do you mean?
He should rest and be kept very quiet for a day or two.
Oh, I see.
I can't possibly permit you to question him before, well, tomorrow at the earliest.
Yes, of course, I understand. I just hope that won't be too late. You see, I think Jim knows who shot at him. I mean to get my hands on whomever it was if it's the last thing I ever do.
Mr. Kent, I don't think he meant it.
You don't think who meant to what, Howard?
Well, what I mean is... Well, I can't imagine anybody shooting Jim. He's such a swell guy.
Just the same, somebody did shoot at him. Tried to kill him. Whoever it is may still be in the armory, and if he is, I'll find him. I'll be back soon, Doctor. You wait here for me, Howard. Sergeant Healy.
Oh, hello, Kent. How's young Olson?
He's going to be all right.
Thank the good Lord for that. He's a fine lad.
One of the best. And I'm going to find the devil who tried to kill him.
Don't you worry about that, Kent.
Wait a minute, Sergeant. Most of the people who were here, the spectators, are gone. Why didn't you hold them?
There was no reason to. Most of them were youngsters.
No
reason?
Besides... Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I'm looking for the gun.
You're what?
I'm looking for somebody with a gun. If he hasn't left yet, I'll spot him.
Look, Kent, do you think if anybody in here did have a gun, he'd be waving it around for us to see?
No, of course not. He'd have it hidden in his clothes.
Then how do you expect to see it?
Huh?
Maybe you think you're Superman.
Yeah, maybe.
What?
Skip it, Sergeant, skip it. No, I'm afraid he's not here now.
Who isn't?
The man, whoever he is, who shot Jim. Nobody in the crowd here now has a gun on him.
I don't know how you know that. But anyhow, the man with the gun didn't get away, Kent.
What?
He didn't get away. We've got him.
You have?
Sure. But I don't think he's a devil, like you called him. I'm thinking it was an accident.
An accident? What do you mean?
Take it easy, chum. I think what must have happened was an accident. Because this Claridge fellow is a well-known guy, and he couldn't have had any reason for shooting Olson.
Well, who's Claridge?
City official for playgrounds. He was the starter for the races today. He shot Olson, but he didn't mean to. It was an unfortunate accident. The poor fellow's all broken.
No, you're wrong, Sergeant. He didn't shoot Jim.
Well, he must have. Didn't Olson fall right after Claridge fired his gun to start the race?
Yes, but the starter shoots blank cartridges. And besides,
but a real bullet got mixed up with the blank somehow.
No, Sergeant. I was standing right with Jim. And I saw the starter fire toward the ceiling. So even if there was a real bullet in his gun, he couldn't have hit Jim.
You must be mistaken, Kent.
Well, I'm not. I'm sure of it. Somebody else shot Jim and timed his shot with the starter so it wouldn't be noticed.
Now, who in his right mind would take such a chance as that and in front of a big crowd?
Well, I don't know, but I'm going to...
You've been seeing too many movies, Kent. The starter shot Olson, not meaning to,
of course. It's ridiculous, Sergeant.
Yeah? Well, we found the bullet. And I'll bet you a new hat. Our ballistics man says it came from the starter's pistol.
I don't bet, Sergeant, which is lucky for you because you'd loot. Say, wait a minute. Howard.
Who?
Howard Jones. He knows something about this.
He's one of those Unity House boys, isn't he?
Yes, I think maybe he can clear this thing up. I'm going to see him right now. Oh, there you are, Howard. Where's Jim?
The doctor drove him home, Mr. Kent.
Oh.
I got to go now, too.
No, wait, Howard. I want to talk to you.
Not now, Mr. Kent, please. I got to get home. My folks are waiting supper for me.
I won't keep you long, son. I just want you to tell me what you know about this shooting.
I don't know anything about it.
I think you do, Howard.
No, sir. No, I don't.
Now, look. Jim told me he was in some serious trouble that obviously involves you. Because he asked you if it would be all right to tell me about it, and you said yes, so...
But that was before Jim was shot.
Right. All the more reason to tell me what you know.
No, sir. No, not me. I don't know anything. Nothing at all. I gotta go home now. My folks are
waiting. Just a minute, Howard, please.
Please, Mr. Kent, let me go home. I tell you, I don't know anything.
You know a lot about Jim's shooting, but you're afraid to tell me. Isn't that right, Howard?
Yes, sir. I mean, no, sir. Oh, please let me go, Mr. Kent, please.
What or of whom are you scared, Howard? Tell me.
I just don't know anything.
Now, look, Howard. I saw how you acted when you thought Jim might die. You're very fond of him, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
And don't you want to help me find the person who tried to murder him?
Yes, but he didn't try to murder Jim. That bullet was meant for me.
What?
Yes, sir. Oh, golly, I shouldn't have said that. I'm getting out of here.
No, Howard, wait.
No, please. Please don't try to make me talk. I don't want to be killed.
Panic-stricken at what he has said, young Howard Jones darts from the room. Clark Kent stares after him, worried and puzzled. What did the boy mean? We'll be back in a moment for the exciting climax of today's episode. So keep listening.
Anyone will tell you, gang, that Benny Leonard was one of the most honest fighters in the history of boxing. There was the memorable time early in his career when Benny was scheduled to fight a local boy in an oil town. It was a tough town with plenty of money bet on their boy. Just before the fight, four armed gangsters crashed into Benny's dressing room. Tersely, they gave him an ultimatum. Either he threw the fight or he would die. Benny Leonard knocked the oil man out in 2 minutes and 10 seconds of the first round. Once back in New York, Benny captured the title of lightweight champion of the world. He was a great champ. Some say he was the greatest that ever lived. He fought everyone who wanted a crack at the title. Guys who had championship stuff themselves. Only Benny Leonard was better. As a youngster, he had licked the prejudiced bullies of the Lower East Side and had nothing but contempt for religious bigotry. In the same way, he had no patience with racial intolerance. At a time when white title holders hid behind the color line to keep good Negro fighters from taking a crack at them, Benny said, "Nothing doing. If the guy's good and entitled to a chance, bring him on." Everyone respected Benny Leonard's honesty. No gambler could come within a mile of him. He fought fair and with the best that was in him. When he finally retired in 1925, undefeated champion of the world, he retired as the most popular and best-loved champ of the ring. The spunky kid from New York's East Side had taken his place among the greatest of all time.
And now, back to the adventures of Superman.
Across the street from the armory in the twilight shadows, a heavy-set man with beefy face and pale eyes stands by a small sedan. A boy of about 13, his eyes wide with fear, stands beside him.
You did it, didn't you, Uncle George?
I did what, Ralphie?
You shot Jim Olsen.
Shut up, you little fool.
You did. I know you did. That's why you sneaked up in the balcony where nobody'd see you.
Will you shut up?
You had your rifle under your coat. You got it there right now. I can see it.
So what if I did shoot Olsen? He stood up for those two kids, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was murdered.
I didn't murder him. Besides, I didn't even mean to hit him. I was aiming at that dirty Howard Jones kid. I would have got him, too, if Olsen hadn't moved in front of him just when I was pulling the trigger.
But, Uncle George, you almost killed him.
So what? He was told not to let that Jones kid and the other one like him, that Bobby Lee, run against our kind. He needs a lesson.
But Dad said there wasn't to be any killing. He said he had his own way to handle it.
I don't care what your dad said. They got my own ways of doing things. Wait. There he is now.
Who?
Howard Jones. See? He's just come out of the armory. He's running to make that bus. He's getting on.
Wait, Uncle George. Where are you going?
He won't get away from me this time.
Uncle George!
Beat it, Ralphie! Mind you, keep your mouth shut or it'll be too bad for you.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get after that dirty Jones kid, that's what.
Oh, no, you mustn't. That's... Uncle George, please don't. Uncle George, please, please.
Alarmed, Ralph calls after his Uncle George, who, a maniacal gleam of hate in his pale eyes, is pursuing the bus in which Howard Jones is riding. What have Howard Jones and Bobby Lee done to incur the deadly enmity of George Mason and his brother John? Jimmy Olsen has just missed death by the slightest fraction. Now, what will happen to the young track star, Howard Jones? We'll learn the answers to these questions in tomorrow's thrill-packed episode, fellows and girls. So be sure to listen. Tune in, same time, same station, for Chapter 3 of The Skin Game on The Adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC Comics magazine and is brought to you Monday through Friday at this same time. This program came from New York. Stay tuned to your mutual station for Captain Midnight, which follows in just a moment. And right after Captain Midnight, you will hear Tom X and his Ralston Straight Shooters. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.